Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks. I'm your host, Alex Wolf. And this is, God damn it, I fucked.
I got almost there.
All right. So after that, I'll be like, this is, you know what? Maybe I'll look up, what episode number is this now? I'll do the episode number, do the, and then do, this is the, the show in the 99th percentile.
If you want my opinion, I think this has just got to be the intro. You should just keep this.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. I think it should be fun. But it's up to you. This is your show, so you can do whatever you want, you know?
All right. You know what? Let's keep it. You know, I tried, but this leads me to my point. My guest today is former host James Marcina.
Thank you for having me. Oh, you're doing that.
Provolone Ranger. AKA, I forget the rest. Yeah. But James is back for an episode. He wanted to close things out, although this certainly won't be the last time that you'll be here, right?
We'll see.
Shut up, James.
No guarantees I won't die. I'm not trying to get too dark immediately.
I know you're 3,500 miles away, but I'll drag your ass on the show.
Guarantee that kind of thing. Alex, you never get, I don't want to like take over, but you never get my movie references. But have you seen Boogie Nights? You haven't seen Boogie Nights, right?
I've seen Boogie Nights.
You have seen Boogie Nights?
Like, a while ago, but yes, I've seen Boogie Nights.
I could have sworn you said in the Slack. Anyway, your intro reminded me of in Boogie Nights when, like, it's the 80s and, like, the young kids take over for Dirk Diggler and, like, they can't act. You know what I mean? Like, they don't know how to hit it from behind the same way that, like, Dirk Diggler does, which is very basic, but you know what I mean? Dirk Diggler can do everything, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying one of us is Dirk Diggler and one of us is the 80s, but that's what your intro reminded me of a little bit.
Interesting. All right. Before we get too far into things, let's do the drop here.
And then we'll
start talking again because we do things a little differently now, James. We do a little open where we tell people what to expect in the show, which I haven't done at all right now. And, you know, then we do a drop and then we come back and we start talking. So let's take a quick moment to listen to Mimar's beautiful new theme, and yep. We'll be back in just a sec.
Yep.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Knox foul from behind, counting at one, as Fisdale pumps his fist.
Milikina.
What he does is contagious, like.
To Trier. Trier drives. No!
All right, now we're back. James, yes. I'll let you start talking again since clearly you're like raring to go. You've probably got a lot of podcast juices that have built up.
I got a lot of juice backed up in the system. A lot. It's ready to spray.
Could you have made that a little less gross?
No, I couldn't. Because I'm looking at your avatar right now on Skype. What is this filth, Alex? I don't think the listeners can see. It's like it's a cartoon character, of course, because we're talking about Alex Wolf here. And it looks like a garbage pail kid, but like it's like a garbage pail grandpa. It looks like an old guy, eyes popping out of his head, green puke shooting out of his mouth, disgusting teeth. I'm horrified, and quite frankly, you've filled my life with a level of gore and just disgustingness that I'm not accustomed to, and I'm acting weird because of it.
Dude, that's a funny story. That's my old Xbox Live avatar, way back in like 2005.
Was it one of those ones that come with the system, or did you add it?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It came with the system, and I picked that way back when I first made my Xbox Live profile. And since Microsoft is like, you know, they own Skype and everything's all together, that's been my avatar like forever. I had someone ask me about that the other day too. I think it was Zach yesterday.
That's pretty good. I'm very like tuned into this kind of thing. I think possibly because at my old job, like 9 years ago, I set my work avatar to this like adorable baby monkey. I forget what exact species it was, but it was a very cute monkey. And people would ask me about it, literally, because I was at my old job almost 12 years. They'd ask me about it, like, 7 years later. They'd be like, oh, I love your avatar. And I would have no idea what they were talking about, even though it happened pretty frequently. Anyway, I'll wrap up that very boring story. But Yeah,
it was, Avatar. It was thrilling. I was gripping my chair the whole time.
Well, you know, part of being an artist is just throwing stuff out there. It doesn't all work. You got to know what's good and what's not. So,
yeah. Yeah, clearly.
No regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets. And yes, I just called myself an artist. We're all the artists of our own lives. You know what I mean? Hashtag personal brand.
I concur. So, you know, you never really got to kind of have a farewell show on here because you got so busy with your move. To those who don't, like, who never heard your kind of, like, last episode or last couple episodes, you moved to the Bay Area to pursue your dream, be a writer for NBA 2K, which is freaking dope, and I'm still super jealous of you. Handed off Locked On Knicks to me, so, and me and Gavin, so that's kind of nice of you.
I'm jealous of you in some ways. Not, you know, not every
Don't
way.
Be.
This just I'll say this to you. You may not do this for the rest of your life, and you may, I don't know, maybe you'll become the world's foremost purveyor in takes that are spicy hot. I hope that for you if that's what you want. But if you don't do this for the rest of your life, you'll find there comes a day where you're without that sort of pulpit to ram your takes down your listeners' throats. And I wish I'd used a better metaphor that for that as soon as I started saying it. But you'll miss that. And I do miss that. I miss it's not ramming. I miss presenting my takes for consumption, you know, to the masses. So that's I don't know where I'm going with that other than to say that.
And, so when you were so when you
don't
were
take this for granted.
Huh? When you were ramming your takes down the listeners' throats.
That's one way to put it. That's a disgusting way to put it. It's something Ashwin Ramnath would say. He's probably the most disgusting person I've ever met.
Yeah, I concur. Schwinny.
Yeah.
Good old Schwinny. he still curses up a storm when he comes on here. He's
just filthy. That's all he's got going for him. That's what, you know.
The listeners
smart guy,
love it, though.
Nice guy, but he's just ruining it all with this filth.
Yeah, definitely. So tell me a little bit about how's things going? How is NBA 2K and all that stuff? You said you work in like a big old like airplane hangar or whatever.
Yeah, you violated my non-disclosure agreement just
by shit.
So we're going to delete this part of the podcast. No, it's going good. I am like terrified, of saying something that will inadvertently violate my non-disclosure agreement, but things are going well with me. Like I said, I do miss Locked On Knicks duties. That's actually, I know I sound completely disingenuous and like I'm just joking about everything on this podcast, but there's a kernel of truth in every joke. And I do mean that. I do miss Locked On Knicks, but it's fun. You know, like I was going to a job that I hated. that's the truth for many, many years. And now I'm at a job that's like new and exciting. And even I was in my first meeting today. I think I can say this. That was like kind of boring and like maybe I didn't need to be there, although I think it was good that I was there. But long story short, it was one of those meetings where a lot of people are saying stuff that either you don't quite understand or doesn't quite apply to you. And for my old job, that was just a sentence worse than death because it was marketing bullshit that I didn't care about at all. And for this, that boring stuff is about a basketball video game. So it's like really cool. They're still talking about, you know, whether or not, like, can we do this thing with the timeout sequence and whatever? Like, it's all like something that applies to something that you actually enjoy thinking about and discussing. So it's a huge leap forward, not just for me, but for mankind. You know, my story is an inspiration, I like to think, to just people everywhere, young and old, who want to believe that if they dream it, they can do it. That's a phrase, right? Mm-hmm. If they believe it, they can achieve it. Can we have like, I want there to be like applause that gets louder and louder as that last speech that was happening goes on and just ends with, I don't know, something from The Life of Pablo, the best album of all time.
You know, that's all fine and dandy, and I'd love to give you some cool sound effects, but you never downloaded a wolf sound effect for me while I came on here as a guest, so I don't know if I'm going to do that for you, because I only asked like 8 times for you to give me a wolf sound effect, and I never got one.
It's true, but it was like, it was kind of like a microaggression. It was the microaggression that broke the camel's back. I actually stopped doing Locked On Knicks because Alex wouldn't stop asking me for that wolf soundtrack. I was like, I can't, it's just one more thing. This job's annoying enough. Now I got to find a wolf sound effect for him. And that's like what made me lose it. And that's why I quit.
You know, don't lie to the people, because, you know, I was so concerned with protecting my record as the most prestigious Locked On Knicks guest that after a while I stopped asking, because I was like, I don't want to piss James off, because, like, it's kind of annoying. Like, it's just like me asking for something for me and nothing in return, like for you to take the time to find a wolf sound effect and then, like, download it and then put it in there and make sure it's in the, you know, timed right and all that stuff. And
yeah, sure.
It was purely for Alex. But
it's,
you know,
one so extra thing to the workflow. The workflow is much more vast than people realize, even if you're making simple edits to getting one of these podcasts up and in the right place and making sure that, you know, you, the fans who we love and respect and need and cherish, get your podcast content on time. But that it's a lot of work. So even just one sound effect can be like, you're like, oh, do I really have to do that? But that's not why I quit. I quit because I'm actually not working at 2K. I'm living in a van in the Alaskan wilderness. And I'm spending my days. I'm watching episodes of The Sopranos and drinking Bud Heavies. That's like my dream. And I'm living it.
Yeah, I can't really imagine you finding Nirvana any more than that scenario that you just laid out. That would be like your, that's like how you just want to retire someday. Like, you're going to live in a van, be like an old, dirty, hippie James. Like, you're not going to get your hair cut. You're going to grow out like this big, gnarly beard. And you're just going to, like, have, you know, a throne of Bud Heavies in the back of it. And a big screen TV.
Yes.
With wireless internet that works anywhere. And actually, you know what? No, not even internet. You can't chance it. You're going to have a Blu-ray player hooked up to a giant TV so that everything's physical medium. So you can always have The Sopranos on demand. And that's just going to be your life.
Yeah, it's got to be like off the gridable. So that's good thinking. Yeah, there, for sure.
Yeah. Maybe also like a backup battery in your car, because it's going to be, you said, a shitty van. So, you know, you better have a backup battery in there too, just to be sure. Like, I'm trying to look out for you here. We're
mad. I didn't say a shitty van. That was you. You added that. You probably just imagined that I could never have something nice. I know you.
That is probably the case.
You met me that one time. You saw how drunk I got. You're like, that guy, he's only gonna have a shitty van. Let's be honest here.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I probably did formulate that in my head. I'm just imagining you with like one of those old like camper but not a camper vans.
Yes.
You know, that's like, it looks like a regular van from the outside, but you get inside and it's got like a table inside it and whatever. And like,
yes.
A weird.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, that's your future home. Just so you know, in my mind.
That's not good, honestly. The only thing that's missing is like, I can stop pretending that I don't love the Grateful Dead, because I do. It's embarrassing, but like, I do. I can't, you know, this is where I say it, I guess. This is where I come out. I love the Grateful Dead.
That was your like most guarded secret the whole time that you hosted.
There's there's much worse than that. That's the most guarded secret I'm willing to tell. I'm a terrible person. Let's be honest. If everyone like said the three worst things that they know about themselves to be true, no one would like talk to anyone ever again. Like, we'd all be canceled some way. And I'm not just talking about like being racist or sexist or whatever. Like, just whatever shitty things you've done as a human being. I believe this very strongly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would probably tend to agree with you. We're getting really heavy, though. So,
I don't know where I'm taking us with this. It's your job to rein it back in, though. I don't.
Yeah, that's know, I'm adjusting to this because you have all this gravitas, and I'm trying to let you, you know, spin a little bit here. But you're starting to take us in this weird, dark, you know, existential direction.
A little bit, yeah.
So let me draw us back into like the retrospective of James Marcita on Locked On Knicks, real quick. You said that you had sort of something to say to the listeners, but not prepared really. You're kind of gonna go off the cuff with it. Do you want to say something to the listeners real quick?
No, I would love to do that. Thank you for this opportunity. So I've got a message for the fans, and it's that, I hear you guys, you know, I really do. I mean, a lot of you have reached out, like thousands of you, to be honest. You know, either through Twitter or email or phone calls. I hear what you guys are saying, but you got to give Alex and Gavin a chance. You got to let them just try, you know, as hard as they can to make this thing work. I mean, look, do they have some warts? Yeah. They got some warts. But you know who else has warts? Kevin Knox. And, you know, he's only 19. You may have heard that already. Now, these guys, they're not 19, but it's exactly the same thing. You got to let them find that chemistry. You got to let them gel. You got to let them grow. I'm not going to, as much as you all have begged me, I can't pull a Jay Leno here. You know, I can't come back. I can't turn them into my own Conan. Just kick them off. I can't do it. But thank you for the support. I love you guys. And I think you'll find that you give Alex and Gavin the room to grow, and you'll see some great things. You'll see some great things. All right, I love you.
James, who's been talking shit behind my back?
I can't name names. It was like 2.5 people. That half person being Ashwin, who's just a degenerate, barely a human being at this point.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't want to know who they are. But I concur.
What's actually happened is I've seen people be nice about what you're doing, and it makes me angry. I'm like, you need to miss me more. That's the real truth. That's what that was about. So
yeah. Well, let me just address you real quick and say, first off, so before we, you know, wrap up this first part here, but first off, you are irreplaceable and quite frankly, inimitable, if I'm saying that correctly. Is that how you say that?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You are inimitable. Like it's a fool's errand to try to replicate what you did. So luckily Gavin and I are starting to find our own groove a little bit, and we'll keep getting there over time. But you guys are doing great.
You're doing great. It is tough to start anything new like this with another person, like especially one you don't know very well. You guys are doing really well, and chemistry will build even more over time and whatever. But like, you guys are doing awesome.
I am sure.
And I've been listening. I've been enjoying.
But thank you for laying the blueprint for us. First off, I can say that on air. I've already like told you most of the shit in private, but I'll say it so that everybody can hear it. So that way it means more, because it means more when more people hear me say it. Right. So first off, thank you for laying the blueprint here. Thank you for doing what you did. Thank you for having me on like 20 something times. Because that was
it wasn't 30. We didn't get you to 30.
No, I was definitely in the 20s. I did not quite hit 30.
When
Drew did his like little ranking like a few months ago, I was at like 19 or something.
I like that you called it little, because everything Drew does is little, right? Right, Doug. Yeah. I love you. I'm just kidding, Doug. I don't know what I am now. I'm like Jeff Ross. This is this character that I'm developing.
You're the roast master.
It's really just our Slack personalities coming to life. Is what's happening.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But anyway, to continue on, the listeners probably don't know, so I'll tell them. James personally recommended me to take this over with Gavin, and I am eternally grateful for that as well. So thank you, James, for that. That meant a lot to me, and I am certainly happy for the opportunity.
Thanks, Alex. I'm not good at being earnest, but I appreciate that, and you deserved it. You know you did.
You did. I guess I put in enough like free hours that like my punch card got filled up and I got to become host.
It was either that or actually pay you for what you earned, and we all know that wasn't gonna happen. I was pocketing that, you know.
So. Yeah, of course.
And you'll do the same thing to your guests. It's a circle. It's life.
Oh, for sure. You're not seeing a dime out of this.
Oh no, I don't. I would be angry if I got any money for this.
All right. Well, now I'm gonna send you like 10 cents just to. Like,
just let me know the final download numbers. That's what I'm most interested in. If they're worse than usual, I'm going to be very upset, which they very well
be. They're going to be terrible. They're going to be the worst. The worst episode ever. People will get like 2 minutes into this episode and decide it's not for them.
We haven't talked about the Knicks like at all, so I could actually really understand it if people hated this episode. No,
I could totally see it too. I'm going to put
shade
a lot
thrown your way.
Yeah, but all right, let's wrap up for this first bit here. We'll call this a segment. This isn't really a segmented show like usual, but we'll call this our first segment.
I wouldn't allow it. It's an experience.
And I'll just remind everybody, you're listening to Locked On James Marcita, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And we'll be back in just a moment. All right. Welcome back to Locked On Knicks, James Marcita edition. James Marcita's sort of farewell episode. Although, as I already said, he's for sure going to be coming back.
We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. That's for Doug Steele. He doesn't believe that Puff Daddy is the most important cultural figure of all time, which is crazy to me.
Important cultural figure didn't put out the best album of all time, though.
You're talking about what? Ready to Die? Life After Death?
I was talking about Life of Pablo, since that's your universal
you're right.
Best album of all time.
That is the best. You're right. Sorry. Oh, I fucked up my brand. Thank you. Thank you for reeling it back in. Well, that's why you're the host now. Oh, my God. Well, you know, we've all got our moments where we slip. You caught me slipping. That's all right.
This is gotcha journalism at its finest. Just took you down.
Oh, my God. Canceled.
For the shill that you are. No, not shill. What's the word I'm looking for? For the
phony, fake,
phony, yeah, fake,
fraud.
For the fugazi that you are.
Oh yes, I am fugazi. Authentic fugazi.
Nice little throwback. All right, so I understand you wanted to turn the tables and ask me questions or something. So
yeah, I got a couple questions for you.
I'm totally in the dark here. I'm ready for this though.
So the first one is: do you want any advice from me? This is good on the heels of our first segment. Basically,
this is pretty good.
So, if you have anything bad that's going on, I can tell you how to make it better. I'm positive now. I'm in California. I'm not, I haven't lost. When things are bad, I'll say this is bad. But my new thing is, instead of just complaining about it, I'm like, all right, how do I fix it? California, you know, that's the new wave. That's 2K19. That's what's wavy right now. So if you want it, you don't have to. But if you want any advice from me, it could be anything. Life, but podcasting is what I was thinking of. But, you know, whatever you want.
Okay. All right. I do feel that one thing that I feel like I need help with, and maybe we can – this could be kind of a fun exercise real quick. Yeah. Maybe we can live brainstorm this because our texting back and forth brainstorming sessions are like things of legend. So yes. I need to establish a brand, the explaining, complaining, and entertaining,
spaying your
pets, all that bullshit.
What
should we do with this? Because I tell you what, our brand is starting to take shape a little bit. The new theme song I actually love. I like it more than your theme song, and
that's
not just because it's only for me. But
I mean, it's okay. It's
shut your face. Mine is way better.
I want you to think that. It's like, I'm not going to get angry at someone like Kevin Knox. If he was I think I'm one of the best rookies, fine. You know, that's not a good example. If some shitty player is I'm one of the best rookies, then I don't blame him because you got to have confidence. Anyway, sorry. That's a diversion.
Dude, our theme is definitely better. I don't know. Maybe I'll put that to a poll tomorrow, whose theme was better.
Yeah, I think you should.
But as it turns out, your theme was basically designed for you and mine was designed for us. So, cause Mimar is a genius and
shouts to Mimar.
Yeah. Mimar.
I'm sure he gave you exactly what you asked for.
He did.
I'm just worried about now. So you're not you wouldn't have been common cause you're not a joke like that, but it might've been some Saturday morning cartoon. What'd you give him as a reference?
You know what I straight up told him to listen to, and then I just kind of let him do his own thing because I knew that he would do a good job.
Yeah.
I actually really like the intro to Bodega Boys, their podcast, bass heavy, kind of pump up music.
Yeah, I just got that.
Exactly. Yeah, so I wanted something with that little kick to it, and that was basically the criteria I gave.
I hear that. Yeah. To start workshopping the personal brand, and this can go as long or as short as you want, I just have some advice in that all art is theft on some level. So if you're I want to be kind of like this guy or whatever, you take that, you twist it a little bit, just enough so it's yours. But, and then, you know what I mean? That's how to think about it. I feel when I was doing explaining, complaining, and entertaining, it was I think I wanted a little bit of Clyde in there with the rhyming. I wanted to I wanted the show to be entertainment, honestly, more than anything. So that was lead off with that. But I said explaining first though, didn't I? I wanted to trick people into thinking I was an expert. So that was my sly way of doing that. Complaining, because it's New Yorkers, right? That's what we do, right? Uh-huh. And then entertaining, lead off with that. So you're entertaining, that's what this is.
Do you want like a tagline?
Nah, I don't know. That was good advice though, to not be afraid to like steal other people's stuff in a way.
Stealing with the right intent.
Spin it your way.
Yeah, because that's what anything is. Nothing is like wholly unique. You're like, I want to write a novel. Why? Because you read a novel that you liked, and you like read this guy's, and you're like, I want something like this, but with my own. So it's like what you add. You have to add enough that's yours, so you're not a thief. But that's what everything. It's when people like, I'm real wary of like, this is plagiarism unless it's straight up, you know, Googling someone's term paper or whatever, and then using it. That's a different story. But don't be afraid to steal. Main advice.
So basically, what I'm getting out of this is I'm just going to start memorizing all your old stuff verbatim and just do that. I think that'll work.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll just try not to fuck it up this time. Like if I did.
You
in
just,
the intro.
Yeah. If you just deeply, deeply want to be me, just do that. You know, make it creepy. Just be like, let your freak flag fly. You
know? I don't know if I could do that though, because I don't think I could drink that much Bud Heavy.
You could do it. Put your back into it, and then just show up outside my apartment, dig through my garbage, like live the life. And I think you'll find good things will happen. Do you want to move on to my next question, or do you have more questions for me? Okay, all right. Okay.
No, that was my biggest thing. That's the biggest thing that I think you did well on this show, was establishing the tone and the brand of it all.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't my basketball knowledge. I mean, we all know that. All right.
Charisma gets you so far.
It really does. I've skated by my whole life on it. Debatable. Okay. So, all right, I have another question for you, though. Okay. I got a couple. How much time do you guys spend talking about cartoon characters? I need, like, a percentage. Comic books, whatever you want to call it.
Well, not a ton yet. So, we got a question when we did our first mailbag. We got a question from Portland Alex. Shout out, Alex.
Yeah. What up, Alex? Yo, Alex, you're a coward. I drove my cat across the country. I already tweeted at him about this. When I would tweet, I don't know if I said it on the podcast or I tweeted it. I was like, I'm driving my animals, and he was like, you're never gonna make it. I tried to drive my cat across the country, and we turned around after like 15 minutes. And this was, keep in mind, I had already made this decision. There was no going back. I had to drive across the country with this cat. There, for way too many reasons to list, I had to do it. And so he's putting. Portland Alex was someone I respected. You know, how could I not? He recognized my genius since day one and has been following me for like 8 podcasts. So, of course, yes, I respect his opinion. He knows what he's talking about. He's like, you can't do this. He made me scared as shit. He added all his anxiety to my life because I respect his opinions. And I did it, Alex. I did it in your face. I just want you to know. I want everyone to know. Only a couple people follow me at James Marcita on Twitter, which is nuts. You guys liked the show. Why don't you follow at James Marcita on Twitter? Anyway, that's a story for another day.
James, don't pump yourself up yet. I'll give you that opportunity at the end. Chill.
Okay. All right, I'll calm down.
All right, chill. All right, to get back to your question here.
Cartoon characters. How are you killing people with this or what?
Well, so
that
Alex,
might be your brand. Welcome to the Cartoon Nick Show,
yeah,
where we talk about
everything. Well, so I'll give you a brief rundown of what we've talked about in terms of those things so far. So Alex asked the question of what our stance was on the MCU, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Gavin is apparently also super into it. So that means that we're for sure, when Avengers comes out, we're going to have like a Nyx as Avengers episode or something. And it's going to be
before
great.
You do that, so I can delete it from my podcast apps and then I'll reload it afterward. I don't even want to see. Oh, no, the back stuff's going to show up.
So then the other time when nerdy, non-refined crap, as you might think of it, showed up on the show in spades was yesterday. Did you listen, or I guess earlier today, technically, from when we were recording, did you listen to the one that I did with Meatball yesterday?
No, Meatball was on? No, I haven't seen that, no.
Okay. All right, so I did one with Zach, and we did assigning the Knicks British characters.
So you didn't want to do my Brexit themed episode?
No.
I was gonna be a winner.
Nor the colonialism, like what country?
British colonialism themed. You didn't want to. These are both gold. I gave Alex so many good ideas in our brainstorming his UK episode Slack, but that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, no, I did not want to do that. But so we did the characters thing. And the first one was Frank Ntilikina, and I assigned him Harry Potter, and we probably went on for about for about 7 to 8 minutes of talking about Harry Potter stuff. I gave my very strong opinions on like the ending of the sixth movie and stuff like that.
Is that the final one?
No, the final was the seventh.
Of course it's not. How many were there? 15?
There was eight.
Eight. All of them necessary.
Yes.
That's storytelling at its finest. Yeah.
It was. It was good. I mean, there were seven books, and they split the last one into two parts to do it justice. I thought they did a great
J.K. job. J.K. Rowling is like a conservative piece of garbage. Not to get political, but she like hates poor people. Did you hear this?
No.
Have you heard about this? Did you hear this? No? All right. No. Well, I'll leave it at that. You can look it up afterward.
Don't ruin the mystique for me, James. Don't try to ruin another thing.
It's
in
like
my life.
Ayn Rand, okay. But for she's like the Tolkien and Rand, however you say her name.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'll look that up later, but probably not because I'm going.
I can really talk about how much I hate Trump now that I'm not hosting anymore, and all those people who are like, "This is Snowflake. Fuck you." I'm gonna get petty. Fuck you, you Trump-hating monster. Trump-loving monster. Sorry. You can cut that, Alex, if you want.
I'll probably keep it because I'm not venturing this far.
What am I going to be embarrassed by hating Trump? Only monsters. They put me up. Work's put me up. Work has been very nice to me. I'm in this like temporary housing. It's in this luxury complex. And I was walking my dog through this luxury complex near work the other day. And there was like this like cartoon. What are the trucks? What do you call it? Monster trucks that like drive over each other and stuff? There was like a monster truck parked in one of the spots, just festooned with Trump stickers. And I was just cracking up. I was like, of course, the stupid truck with stickers for the stupidest monster the world has ever seen. There's been bigger monsters, but I don't know if there's been dumber ones.
Yeah.
But we can keep moving. Right. You don't need to respond.
Yeah, let's reel that in. Let's reel that in just a little bit. I will also say that I'm not a Trump fan. But Alex, this is Trump. Neither the time nor the place. Maybe we could start a politics podcast on the side or something.
Oh my God.
But yeah, to answer your question, to sum it up in a couple words, TLDR. Yes, we are very nerdy. We are going to be nerdy on the show from time to time and not just for HBO shows or whatever. So that's your answer.
I've got one more question. Do we have time?
Sure. Yeah, go for it. I'm not worried about the time limits today. Remember, you used to publish like hour long episodes.
I did today. I won. That was like 2 hours once. That was a bit much.
But that was the one that we had to split into four parts. That was Nick's and Morty.
Oh, yes. No, but I think I published one that was like an hour, 45 minutes by itself, which is a little intense.
That is a little intense.
But there's four more that week to get through. But before we get to my final question, Alex has been really kind, and he's offered to prepare an audio montage of my greatest moments from Locked On Knicks, and we're going to play that right now. All right, go.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
You didn't prepare? Okay, all right. That's my last question.
Wait. Before you ask the question, why don't you act out your favorite moments from Locked On Knicks?
My favorite moments. It's probably all the ones. All right.
When I was on, I understand. So we can act them out right now?
Yeah. Okay. So, Alex, you're on Locked On Knicks with James Marcita, the level headed, nuanced take artist. To end all level headed, nuanced take artists, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about effective field goal percentage versus true shooting. And the pluses and minuses of both statistics.
I can't even pretend that this was a discussion that we had.
Does it sound like typical me?
Yeah, it sounds pretty close. You know, it's right about there, but there's just something a little bit off for some reason.
Okay, yeah. And for those who are wondering, I've only had one alcoholic beverage this evening. This is me relatively sober. I've had one glass of red wine, not a Bud Heavy, despite what my brand might tell you. I drink lots of things, but Bud Heavy is just one of the best. I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, I have one final question. Is Emmanuel Mudiay still on the team? Is he on the Knicks? I haven't watched him a little bit. Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bummer.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
That's the question.
Yes, he is still on the team. Maybe he might get traded. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, he's not good. He's never going to be good. I had to be diplomatic about it when I was a host. I don't know how diplomatic I was, but he's never going to be good. We gotta be careful with him.
I don't know. You're kind of that's a pretty dangerous hill to post up on now at this point. I think he's kind of showed enough at this point that you could reasonably assume that he could be a rotation player in the NBA.
Is that good though?
I mean, I don't think he's a natural born starter. Like, I don't think that he should be starting long term or anything.
He's not going to start. He's never.
Some people definitely think that. Some people think, like, if you look on like Twitter and like comment They're sections, wrong. Crap like that. Some people think that he's like the second coming. But
really, he's not. That exists.
Yeah. Oh, there's definitely people that are like way in on Moutier. They've quieted down a little bit, but when he had his like hot streak, everybody was like, "Oh my god, he's like." Yeah. He's like the starting point guard of the future. Just like cut Frank. Like forget it. Like we don't even need him anymore.
Frank's still gonna be good. Moutier is never gonna be that. Like, listen. Like when you're the host, it behooves you to not be a big dick and like say what you actually feel. Like a lot of times, because like anyone could. Yeah. Like he could still wind up being He could still wind up being a lot better than you and I are like talking about right now, right? Because I think like you're not the biggest believer in him either. I think that's fair to say, right? And so like neither of us are saying like he's gonna be a starter, but like I'm not even convinced he's gonna be like a upper tier backup, like whatever that means. But technically speaking, he could still become that, and he could still become better than that, you know. But that's the kind of thing that like when you're a host and you're like convinced that someone is gonna be bad, even though you don't like I have no way of proving this, but like I just know it so deep in my bones. I don't know why I felt the need, like I had to like express that, but like Moutier is not going to be good. What else? What other hot takes do I want to discuss?
Hold on, hold that thought, because when we come back, we'll talk about the Knicks for a little bit. We'll get on with like the Alex and James powwow here. Talk a little bit of Knicks before we finish up this lovely reunion episode here. So I'll just remind everybody you're listening to Locked On Knicks, and we'll be right back. Okay, so we're back. All right, James, let's. Are we going to talk about the Knicks for a minute?
I think we can. And just to follow up on something I said earlier, it is my first glass of wine. I'm also on like back pain medication right now, so that.
Oh my god, dude.
That might. It's tough. You don't have to worry about me. Like I'm on like my like first and last glass of wine, but. Yeah, the back pain stuff with it might not, it's nothing like serious. It's like I'm on like ibuprofen and some other stuff, which will, you know,
ibuprofen. Oh, don't, god, you're like acting like you're on like Vicks right now.
That's the point. I'm on something in between ibuprofen and Vicks, but it's not Vicks, so don't worry about it.
We're fine then. Yeah, you're on a fancy Advil.
The lawyers come calling, I'm on like a lot of stuff right now. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay. All right. So why don't you, the listeners have gotten to hear plenty of my thoughts on the Knicks and Gavin's thoughts on the Knicks recently. Why don't you pepper us with some of your spiciest takes and I can react to them.
All right.
We'll play a little Stephen A. and Max Kellerman real quick.
Now, keep in mind, I haven't like prepared these ahead of time, but this is just like shooting from the hip. Frank is still going to be really good. And people who think he's going to be bad are stupid and they are lost in the... Here's what's going on. There's a day-to-day thing that, like, gets you real... Is myopic the one where you can only see, like, really close? You don't see, like, the wide view?
Myopic. I don't know, but I have Google at my disposal, so...
Yeah, I refuse to do that. Because right now I've got a Google image search of Tony Soprano.
Myopic, a condition in which close objects appear clearly, but far ones don't. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like... Every day you're walking around and like you're going to your crap job and you're reading about the Knicks all day, and then you go home and you record a podcast or you don't, and like Frank Ntilikina is like bad again. Oh my god. But like he's still so young. He's still getting dicked around. I don't know if it's because they know what they have in him or if it's because they don't believe in him at all. Those are pretty much the two options that I've settled on. But I feel very strongly that he's going to be fine. And he just needs time. And that's like, I don't know how hot a take that is, because there's this notable wing of Knick fandom that is still very into Frank. But like, I'm like so into him and not at all worried about him. And if he actually gets in a situation where they play him a lot of minutes, I think he is going to keep developing and be like a real outstanding player someday. Maybe he won't be like the most outstanding offensive player, but when you take an aggregate what he does on offense and defense, he's going to go, he's going to take a team like very far. Like, he's never going to be that first guy, that second guy when it comes to like shouldering the scoring burden, but he's going to be one of these guys who's just going to be indispensable on like a championship caliber team. Like, I really believe that. There's no way for me to prove that. He's done a lot to prove that he's going to be bad on offense, but I believe very strongly in Frank Ntilikina. That's a very like sober, serious, earnest. I think that's a hot take. I mean,
he's I don't think that's that much of a hot take.
There's a lot of bad film on him. Like,
no, I think there's enough stuff that you can
see. Medium? This is a medium take?
I would call this like a lukewarm take. Yeah.
Not even medium.
Yeah, I'm totally
I'm like
with you, though.
I'm like a 3 out of 8 on the burner.
Yeah, 3 out of 8 on the burner. Yours goes to 8?
6? What do they go to?
Mine goes to 10. Like, mine does like a 1. Yeah, mine does 1 through 10.
I've, like, never had 10. Is that a new thing?
I don't know. I mean, I got apparently the devil, according to you. You, like, cooking purist who only cooks with gas.
Oh, yeah. Alex has an electric stove. That's evil. That is evil. No one should be. I'm sorry you have that. That's a hot plate. That's what we call a hot plate.
I mean, mine heats up pretty quick, man, and it cools off fast enough. Like, I'm totally fine with my stove.
I don't know. Can you light stuff on fire with it instantly?
No. Not instantly, but I could. If I had a piece of paper on there, it would light on fire.
I need to burn peppers with this shit. I need to jar the skin. And you just, it can't heat up. I mean, I guess the technology is there. If we can send people to the fake moon, you know, if we can fake a moon landing, which is what we did, then we can probably create a electric stove that heats up quickly and cools down quickly. But I haven't seen it. I haven't seen this technology. So I don't
see, the moon truther thing is probably way spicier than your Frank take.
We definitely landed on the moon. You idiots. Come on.
Did the Chinese just land on the moon, though? Did that happen?
Did that happen?
Yeah. They just landed on the dark side of the moon. And
not with a human.
Huh?
With a human?
Yeah.
The, walking around and shit?
I don't know if they necessarily, like, walked around, but they sent a spacecraft to the dark side. I think there was...
A manned spacecraft?
I think it was manned. I'm going to be totally honest. I didn't read the whole story, but the big story from it was that they took up cotton plants that were already, like, planted and, like, germinated or whatever. And they left these plants up on the moon with, like, video surveillance. And the cotton plants are starting to grow on the dark side of the moon. So that's kind of cool. So, like, maybe we could farm stuff on the moon. I don't know how viable that's going to be unless getting to the moon gets cheaper. But, you know, it's something.
That's going to be – let's take it dark again. That's going to be a dark future when we can't, like, live somewhere else yet, but we can only farm on the moon. And then all of humanity wipes out – fathers, and the only thing we have left is this like beautiful greenhouse on the moon, full of like thriving plants. It's like, well, they got the farm going on the moon at least. Couldn't keep themselves going. But yo, I forgot to plug in my computer. Hold on 1 second. It's about to die. 1 sec. Gotta plug it in.
Oh my god. You used to be a host. I can't believe this crap. You used to be a host, and then you come here and you don't even plug in your computer. Biggest amateur move on the planet. You can't even hear me right now because you probably took your headphones out. But I am trashing you right now, James.
Oh, here we go. Oh, we're getting there.
Oh, man.
Well, barely fits. This is a disaster, James.
I promise we'll get right back to the Knicks after James plugs his computer in.
Here we go. Back.
All right, you're back. Oh, good job. You managed to plug your computer.
That's the most pathetic
while you're gone.
Yeah, good. I deserve it. Oh my god, are you kidding me? If someone pulled that while I was hosting, they'd never be back. Never.
Yep. All right. Why don't you pepper me with another Knicks take? Do you have another one off your dome?
What's there to even talk about? That's the thing.
What's your thoughts on Alonzo Trier?
Oh, so this is. I'm glad you brought that up. Actually, that's great.
I think I know your answer to this.
Was it you? Was it someone was making fun of me because I went on McCree's pod. What they called over there? You know, not the Knicks wall. Knicks film school.
Did you just call him McCree?
Macri. No, it's funny. So that's interesting. You bring this up. I'm glad you called it out because I know it's Macri, but in my head it's McCree, and like I can't because I like before I met him, I think I, you know, I met him when I had him on the podcast was the first time, and I asked him how you pronounce it. He was like Macri, and I was like, oh, I'd been saying it in my head for months as Macri. I followed him on Twitter. He worked at like Elite Daily or whatever, Elite NY.
Elite Sports NY he was at first, and then he went to Knicks Wall, and now he's with Knicks Film School, yeah.
Yeah, so when he was with Elite Sports NY, like I read his stuff, and I was like, oh, this is good. Why isn't this guy on podcasts and stuff? And I brought him on. I was like, how do you say your name? He's like, Macri. I was like, Macri? The fuck? And like, I can't – it's still Macri. I can't get rid of it.
But... Dude, I totally understand where you're coming from, though, because I even got – I even remember I caught shit from one of the listeners from when I was on here one time. I still can never like parse Hornacek versus Hornacek. And I think it's actually Hornacek, right?
It is Hornacek. It is.
Yeah. And I used to always say Hornacek because that's just how I always read it, you know? And
same with me. And then I had to do it, you know, a podcast about him every single night and how much I hated him. So I finally learned after like a month and a half. It took a while. Heads, I mean, you might remember. I don't know. Yeah, it was. It took me a couple of weeks before I finally got it. I used to do this whole bit about Hornacek, Hornacek, and I finally got sick of it. So
yeah. I just remember someone on Twitter the one time like responded to your podcast post. It was like, God, how come your guest didn't even get Hornacek's name right?
I remember that too.
Hornacek's name. And I held my tongue, but I wanted to be like, dude, come on. Like,
and I was mad at myself because I was like, I wish I had said something on air. Because that's my serious piece of advice. It's so hard for me to like tell people when they're wrong, but if you catch someone saying something weird or whatever, it's like always better to like point it out, actually, to like let it go.
I guess I get an A+ thing because I just called you on that last one.
Yes, no, so totally. You passed with flying colors because the listeners always notice. The listeners always notice because they're not keeping track of a million things. They're just listening to what's said. And when something's said that like doesn't make sense and the host doesn't acknowledge it, it's weird. They're like, what's wrong with the host? He's an idiot. Yep. And I like hate conflict. So I would frequently not do it even when I noticed it. It was like one of my like worst qualities about hosting. But to get back to what we were talking about, Macri had me on and I talked about, you know, everything that was going on with me leaving the show and blah, blah, blah. And we talked about the state of the Knicks going forward and everything. And I talked about my core pieces for the Knicks. And I didn't list Trier as one of them because he's not. And someone in Slack, I don't think it was you because I don't think you would have brought it up.
I think it was Doug.
It's like, why could you not list Trier? So this is exactly what Doug sounds like. You guys know. Do people know that Drew is Doug? That Drew Steele is Doug? Has this ever been like? I know we've said it on the air before, but has it ever been?
I've definitely said it on Twitter a bunch. Like I've definitely called him Doug on there.
Has anyone ever asked me on Twitter who you're talking about? Or
yeah, like... no, Doug is Drew Steele. I think Drew's actually going to be on after the Wizards game. I think I'm going to have him on Thursday night for Friday.
He needs a win right now, so I'm glad. You're going to give him something positive to feel good about. But he was like, so he was giving me shit. He was like, how could you not say Trier's not one of the foundations of the Knicks or whatever? It's because he's not. I mean, I like Trier. He speaks very highly to the organization's ability to identify talent, not being drafted, as you might have heard. Kevin Knox is also 19. You might not have heard this, or maybe you have before. I don't know. But so Alonzo Trier, you know, when he does good things, they're very exciting. He's a very exciting player. He does chase down blocks. He, you know, he dribbles a lot. And so when that works and it gets a guy off balance and he gets a shot and he finishes at the rim or hits a shot or whatever, or maybe refuses to shoot at the end of the first quarter because he doesn't want to lower his percentages, whatever he's doing, it's exciting. But, like, I do not believe he's a starter. It's great that they found this guy, and I think it's like I said, I think it speaks highly of the organization's ability to identify and develop talent. But he's not the kind of guy that you plan your future around. You shouldn't like do things that hurt a little bit in order to like make sure that you can keep him going forward past the contract or whatever. This is all just very hypothetical, but like. Trier is not that dude. He's not going to, like, come out of nowhere and be, like, Donovan Mitchell, who, is actually maybe struggling a little bit this year. You know, like, and that's someone who is, like, really good. So I think, again, this is a small sample size, I guess, because it's, like, now he's struggling before he was doing well or whatever. But, like, he's not a cornerstone. Like, Trier's not a cornerstone. I'm glad that, like, he looks good or whatever. But he's just exciting when he is good. I think he's going to be very inconsistent. I think that's going to be his vibe. And I think good defenses are going to be able to kind of shut him down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think I sort of agree with you to a degree. I mean, I think he could be part of the Knicks' future, but as
For sure, he could
career, as a career sixth man. You know, I don't think he's ever going to be like a go-to starter or anything like that. I hope to be wrong about that, because it'd be nice if maybe someday the Knicks felt confident enough in Trier to move on from Hardaway or something, like, and you know, have someone they pay less money or whatever. But
honestly, I feel like it's more possible that, even though I think he's older, I think it's more possible that that happens for him than like Moutier. He's not someone that you need to think of in the same sentence as like a Knox or Kristaps. Like, let's be honest. Like, come on. Like,
so, all right. So let's do another thing in that same vein. What, and we'll do like two more questions, because then I think we should probably wrap up. I don't know. I think we're pushing an hour. I could talk to you for days, though. But
Same here.
Yeah, I think we'll shoot to wrap up in a couple questions here.
That sounds good.
So after KP and Knox, who are obviously the top two prospects on the team right now, who would you say is the most valuable Nick long term?
Like, who do I think it's? I mean, if you're talking about.
And you can't cop out and say whoever they draft. Like, you can't say, like, Zion Williamson.
I mean, it's between Mitch and Frank. And, you know, I'd say Mitch probably has an easier road to becoming what he needs to be honest. Because, like, I do recognize that Frank needs a lot of work. If you're asking me, like, who do I think is going to... no, that's a tough question. If you're asking me who do I think is going to affect the Knicks more over the next 10 years, it's probably Mitch, because I don't trust the front office to keep Frank. But if you forget the front office and like what kind of players they'll develop into, I think Frank is potentially more useful, especially if the Knicks with KP and Knox and whoever figures to be their draft pick this year. A couple people mentioned this a lot in like the posting and toasting comments, but like Nilkin is that kind of guy who, without a lot of usage, can greatly affect a game. And so I'm like all in on that line of thinking. And I think he's going to do that in his career, whether it's for the Knicks or someone else. But Mitch also, you know, is this archetype of the modern center. The vertical spacing. He's a preternatural rim protector. So he can really affect the game too. I don't know. I'm kind of talking myself into Mitch right now. If I'm playing the odds, if I'm playing my heart, I think it's Frank. But the odds probably favor Mitch at this point.
Yeah. I think it's probably Mitch too. I mean, I love Frank too, but I think Mitch is gonna like.
He never has to learn how to shoot. You know, like,
and he might
needs to refine what he's already good at and stop fouling.
Like, yeah, and he honestly, he's already shown, at least like in practice and stuff, like in, you know, empty gym shoot-arounds, that he at least can shoot the ball. Like, he's not completely inept. So I think he might be able to turn that into a game skill at some point. And if he ever does that, then like, forget about it. He's going to be super freaking good.
Right. But I'm actually like, you know what I'm most excited for in this like horrible period that you've taken over when like you've taken over during the real like doldrums of the season. Like, you know, after the rookie shine has like worn off a little bit, although Knox is playing well now, so that's kind of exciting. But like, you're just kind of waiting for KP to come back now, and like everyone's hurt and it sucks and they're just losing a bunch. But Cornette like looks like he could be a backup center. Like, that's exciting. If they could get that skill set out there with like backup minutes, I don't know. That's like maybe the dorkiest thing I've ever said about basketball. But I'm like pumped about Luke Cornette, backup NBA center. That's like doing like the Kristaps replication. Like, that to me is like sort of a big deal if you're talking about big picture. We want to do things like deep in the playoffs, being able to keep teams like off their game, because obviously what's so appealing about Kristaps is this unicorn ability, as we've all discussed a million times. And if you can keep like a rough approximation of that unicornishness during the bench minutes, and KP's not even there, like, mwah, that's big. And this gets complicated because how does Mitch fit in? I don't know. But like, I like backup unicornette. I think that's a big development for the Knicks.
Yeah, I concur. Hey, did you see his Twitter thread today where he was walking around London?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, he had a very endearing moment to me that you won't appreciate. he went into a phone booth. He went into a phone booth and he like typed this certain like code into the dial pad of the phone in it. Uh-huh. And he said he was trying to find the secret entrance to the Ministry of Magic, which is from Harry Potter, because they would get into there from this like phone booth. And I thought that was very endearing. So I want to lock him up to a lifetime contract now.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Now that you know he's a dweeb, do you want me to scrub that whole last like 3 minutes?
Yeah, if you can erase that from the permanent record. I think his mom might be some like MAGA person. I feel like I saw that.
Let's not go there.
It's really tied up. I wanted to bring it back into the film.
let me ask you the last question here. Question. So, how has it been since you got to California to now try to watch Knicks games, because they start at like 4 p.m. for you, right?
That sucks.
And does 2K let you watch basketball with no penalty in your office during the workday?
So part A, it sucks because, yeah, you're at work. I guess, so it's really one question, isn't it, when I really think about it. So I haven't tried to watch it at work, mostly because the only way I would have to do it would be through streams, which would have to be illegal, so I don't want to go like to Reddit or to my VPN into my Indian League pass. Well, at work, just like ask my boss, who's like the co-founder of NBA 2K, be like, yo, do you mind if I set up a VPN and access my illegal Indian stream of NBA League pass? But like, so assuming that that won't be super cool, it's annoying, especially, but like, luckily the Knicks are terrible and I don't need to see it live. I'll say this, it's having done this podcast and other Knicks podcasts for the past however many years or whatever, I got used to sort of watching games on delay, which when I was younger was like, no, like I'd rather die than watch a tape delay game. But now, like, I don't mind it so much. So it's kind of like moving out here is coming at a time in my life, thankfully, for all the listeners who are very interested in this, it doesn't bother me so much because I don't mind watching things on tape delay. But when the Knicks get good and are in like the playoffs and shit, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to be very upset.
Like, you know what? For these like regular season games, it's actually kind of, I've come around on watching it on tape delay. Like,
it's
obviously, like,
when you're doing the show.
What's that?
It's better when you're hosting because you can like save time. You can like
watch
a tape delay, fast forward through all the commercials and shit, and that way you're like can live more of your life.
Yeah, the only difficulty is that like I run the posting and toasting Twitter, and so I'm kind of like,
oh,
I expect myself to like tweet during the games, you know, because it's like what a responsible person who runs a social media account would do. So, so I do that. But on the off chance that I do have to catch something on tape delay, like I did this past Sunday, it's nice because then you already know what to expect. So like I went into that game and I had my notebook out and I was like, okay, I'm going to watch everything Knox does. I'm going to watch everything Frank does. I'm going to watch everything Cornette does, and everything else is just gravy because like those are the three guys that I care the most about because they did the best of anybody. So,
yeah, that is true. That's a good point.
But anyway, enough of how the sausage is made. I feel like we should probably wrap up. We've definitely gone over an hour now, but that's okay. Hopefully everybody enjoys it, just hearing your silky smooth voice again. Uh-huh. Although I think as far as silky smoothness, maybe my voice is a little more silky, but you've definitely got...
That's probably right.
Yeah.
I've got that animalistic Italian quality. Yeah, you know, we're often compared to beasts. I think that rings true with me. You know,
oh man, I'll just no comment that. But you know what? I'll ask one favor. Can you take us out with your outro? Because I'd like that just one last time.
Oh my god, let's see if I can even remember it. All right, and that's it for today's show. Thank you very much for listening to Locked On Knicks. If you got a moment, please spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it all the way down. Always salt the pasta water. Take that, take that, take that. Data, Biggie's better than Pac. Peace.
And also, like and subscribe. Give us 5-star ratings.
Yeah, do that too. You know.
Ask your Amazon Alexa to play podcast Locked On Knicks.
Don't do that. It's the government. They're keeping track of you.
I'm going to... Shut up, James. I'm reading the company line right now. Shut up, man.
Don't do it. The companies want you to do it. That's what I'm saying.
And then, of course, you know, have a good day, and we'll be back soon. I think Gavin's back tomorrow. We're going to preview that London game, get back to actually talking about basketball on the reg. But for now, I'm Alex Wolf. This was James Marcita. Hope you guys enjoyed this, and we will be back soon.